You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. When we go off the air, we have prayer meeting, including fervent prayer for America, and God is answering our prayer. Revivals are beginning to break out all over America. Amen. Now, hallelujah. On the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., do come, but I'm not on the air that night. I call this LOL, lots of love for you. On that night, I use that whole time to pray for everyone who comes one by one, person specifically, as the Holy Spirit leads me, according to his wonderful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Scott Merson is on one side of the prayer bench to agree with me, and I'm on the other. We have three segments. We have a prayer for healing, healing of the body, of the mind, and of the emotion. And then we have a segment for deliverance from alcohol, from drugs, from alcohol. Come on, don't be ashamed. Therefore, the grace of God go all of us. Amen. And then last but not least, everybody gets to come up. And when the Holy Spirit leads me, I pray for each one with groanings, which cannot be uttered, that I pray according to Father's will for them. Romans 8:26. Also, everybody in the world is invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, Internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the produce place. The produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Excuse me. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, young David, with a slingshot and a stone and the help of God, has brought down the big bad giant Goliath. Goliath was a champion of the Philistines, who were enemies of the God of Israel and the armies of Israel and King Saul. David didn't stop there. He cut his head off and he brought it to King Saul. Here, did you do this? Can you imagine? Now, King Saul was very pleased with that. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart. The Elohim exchange, extraordinaire. The Elohim exchange, extraordinaire. Elohim is one of the names of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, Elohim. He is the creator of heaven and earth, Elohim. In Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, who is God, it says, all things were created by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that is Jesus. An exchange is, I give you something if you'll give me something. Jesus Christ exchanged his righteousness and took our dirty sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Mm-hmm. Now, extraordinaire, you could say, little Frenchy there, extraordinaire, means outstanding, remarkable. It's outstanding, it's remarkable, of the Elohim exchange, extraordinaire. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul,
I asked David, he just gave him his head, Goliath's head,
that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul.
Now, Jonathan is the oldest son of King Saul, And nobody yet knows that God has appointed David to be the next man king. Jonathan is heir to the throne. Everybody thinks he's going to be the next king of Israel. And he thinks it, and Saul thinks it, okay? Now, this knit means it's not a sexual relationship. You notice it said soul, it didn't say body. We are not a body. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. What it means is that Jonathan saw God in David, and David saw God in Jonathan. Jonathan loved God with all his heart, and David loved God with all his heart. They're called kindred spirits. Jesus would send out his disciples two by two. Two is better than one, and they could help each other. God often assigns a kindred spirit for one of God's elect because he likes for you to have that companionship in the spirit. So this is a pure relationship, a spiritual relationship. If you don't have that, pray for one.
Verse 2. And Saul took him that day. I would no more let him go home to his father's house.
What it means is King Saul, because David was a great warrior, called him into King Saul's service. Now, David, at this point, is a little bit of a type of Jesus. Jesus left heaven's glory and came down here for the service of his father. He did not come to be served, he came to serve. He said, I do nothing but first I see my father does this. Now, you and I, as Christians, are all supposed to be servants. The one who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be the servant of all. Every Christian in the world, ever been, ever was, listen to me now, you are called to serve the King. You are minister of reconciliation. All of you are supposed to be in full-time service for the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be a preacher, but your whole 24 hours a day, everything you are should be for Jesus.
Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant.
Now, they made a covenant. A covenant is a contract sworn in blood and cannot be broken. God is a covenant God. God makes contracts, covenants, and he will not break them. You can count on God's word. When Genesis 6, when the Nephilim, the fallen angels, refused to be born of women, and they came in angelic bodies and went into the daughters of Eth-Adam, the man Adam, they bore giants, hybrid. Well, this messed up God's plan of salvation. So God sent Noah's flood and wiped out that first influx of those giants. But God made a covenant with all of us. He said, I will never again destroy the world with water. So he put a covenant in his own handwriting. God put a rainbow in the sky. A rainbow has seven colors. Seven is the number of God. That's his first signature. In the mouth of two or three ways, the mouth is established. There are three primary colors to the rainbow, red and yellow and blue. This is God's second signature. Red, the red blood of Jesus. Yellow, Jesus is the light of the world. Blue is for truth. Jesus is the truth. Now that's a double whammy signature. That's a John Hack contact by God. Hallelujah. Amen. It has nothing to do with being gay.
Amen.
Now you and I have a covenant. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, if you're a blood-bought Christian and you're living for the Lord, that covenant can never be broken. If you will do the ifs, every promise in the book is yours. It's a covenant sworn in blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. When will you begin to believe the word? When you begin to live by the word? When you begin to trust the word?
Because they loved him as his own soul.
Kindred spirit.
Verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to the sword and his bow and to his girdle.
If you read Ephesians chapter 6, this perfectly describes the gospel armor. What happened? Jonathan, of course, was the king's son, and he's going to give his royal robe to David. In Zechariah chapter 3, Joshua, the high priest, was dressed in filthy rags. He went before God, and God put a mitre on his head and put on him a robe. Joshua, in the Hebrew, is the same as Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus left heaven's glory, and he took off his robe of righteousness and took on our filthy garments of sin and nailed them to the cross. The absolutely greatest exchange ever known in all eternity. The Elohim exchange. Jesus exchanged his righteousness for our sins. Extraordinary, amen. Outstanding, amen. Remarkable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him.
Whatever Saul told him to do, he did. Now, David knows that he's been anointed by the Holy Spirit and God to be the next king of Israel, but it's not time yet. He serves in every capacity. See, children of God who are called, you just serve where you are, bloom where you're planted, and when you get it right, you'll be transplanted.
Amen. And behaved himself wisely.
David knew he was going to be the next king, but he did not tell Saul. He just served. When Jesus came to this planet, Jesus knew he was the Messiah. Mary, his mother, knew it. And Joseph, his stepfather, knew it. But everybody else just thought he was just a young boy. But he knew he was the Messiah, but he kept it quiet.
And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants.
David would go out and in with the common people. All great leaders love the common people. Jesus, Almighty God, Yahweh, Elohim, Emmanuel, God with us, went to the common people when he was in the flesh. He loved prostitutes. He loved wine bibbers. He loved sinners. He loved the lepers. He loved the blind. He loved the lame. He loved the deaf. President Donald Trump is like that, a rich millionaire. But he loves the common people. Yeah. All of God's elect love the common people. There's no pride there. We're one.
Verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines.
Okay, David and King Saul and the armies of Israel have gotten a victory over the enemy.
Then the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music.
They were playing and celebrating victory.
Verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said.
Now they're playing instruments. It does not say they sang. They said. This has got to be the first, the very original rap Christian music.
Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands.
Uh-oh, did you hear that?
Verse 8, and Saul was very wroth.
King Saul was wrath. He was angry. He was jealous. I am the king, he says. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6 and 7, world is Greek Aeon Age, and the first earth age, Lucifer, Isaiah 14, was very good for a long time. He'd worked his way to a high position in heaven. He was the anointed cherub that covered the mercy seat. He was very, very good looking. He was extremely a great musician, extremely wise. But as he watched the Lord Jesus Christ come and sit on that throne, he began to get angry, and he said, I am better than Jesus. I will be God. The Antichrist is still wants to be God. The stead of Christ, the devil. The Antichrist is a devil with his Jesus costume on. He's coming before Jesus, and he's going to call himself God. And he's very jealous of Jesus.
And the same displeased him. And he said, they have described unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands.
Poor little me.
And what can he have more but the kingdom?
What's he going to do? Take over my kingdom? That's right, King Saul, because God's appointed to be the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, in the world that then was, Lucifer, who is the devil, who will be the Antichrist, Satan, serpent, dragon, beast, he actually overthrew God's kingdom. He's going to land his feet in Jerusalem before Jesus comes. He's going to call himself God's Savior, Theosarche in the Greek. And he's going to temporarily take the kingdom of this world from Jesus. But he's not going to win, because then Jesus comes, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus will rule and reign forever.
verse 9. And so I, David, from that day and forward,
hated him.
Verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of a house.
Now, God didn't send the evil spirit, but remember, King Saul had rejected God. And if you reject God, God will reject you. Now, remember that before Saul rejected God, the Holy Spirit anointed him. He had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he does not have that now. So what's he prophesying? He's prophesying by a demon, an evil spirit. It is a lie. He is now a type of what the book of Revelation calls the Antichrist, will also be called the false prophet. He'll be lying to you. He will say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper.
And David played with his hand, as at other times.
Other times they would play the harp and King Saul would be okay. Music calms the savage beast, but not this time.
And there was a javelin in Saul's hand.
This is a spear.
Verse 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even unto the wall with it.
I'm going to nail him to the wall. Now, the devil thought he had Jesus, because he nailed Jesus to the wall of the cross. He thought he had him nailed. Spear, javelin. When Jesus said, it is finished, a spear, a sword, was at his side. And out came the blood, so that we could be the bride.
And David avoided out of his presence twice.
David was very good. He just got out of his way. Jesus came to die, but he would not let them kill him before his time. One time they tried to push him off of a cliff. He just became invisible, passed through them. You don't die before your time.
Amen.
Verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul.
Saul remembered what the anointing was like, and he realized he did not have that power. Because, see, Jesus said you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Acts chapter 1. And when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, you have power over all the power of the enemy. No Christian has power over the devil until you have the baptism. Now, Lucifer had that anointing. He was the anointed cherub. And so it makes him aggravated when he sees other people have the anointing. Lucifer knows that any man, woman, boy, or girl who has the baptism of the Holy Spirit has Christ painted on them, and you have power over him.
Amen.
Now, the anointing means Jesus paints himself on you. Listen, many of you Christians, you're so afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and especially of his language. You know who's making you afraid? That is a devil. Because when he sees your anointing, he's afraid of you. Then you can fight him.
Amen.
Until you get the anointing, he'll beat you to a pulp.
Amen.
The devil is afraid of anyone who has the anointing, because it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from him.
Now that seems like a good thing. No, he said, get out of my sight. I hate you.
And made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people.
Okay, David's doing his little job there.
Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways.
He remembered that King Saul tried to kill him, so he's going to walk softly and carry a big stick.
And the Lord was with him.
The Lord was with David. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon the anointed.
Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him.
Afraid again. He said, wait just a minute. He's not doing anything to aggravate me. I want to kill him.
Verse 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David.
God gave David favor. When Jesus was just a lad, he grew in stature, in wisdom, and favor with God and man. God has a very special way of giving favor to those elect who give up their lives for him.
Because he went out and came in before them, verse 17. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Nerab, her will I give thee to wife.
Now remember, Saul had promised that whoever killed Goliath could marry his daughter. Now Nerab is the elder daughter. Now that sounds like that's real nice of Saul. No, there's method in his madness. Butter's in his mouth, but evil's in his heart. Look that up in Proverbs.
Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles.
All you have to do to marry Nerab is to be a valiant warrior for me. Fight these old Philistines. You know what he thinks? He thinks they're going to kill him.
For Saul said to himself.
To himself, it's not there, but this is what he thought.
Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.
If I can't kill him with my javelin, let the enemy kill him.
Verse 18. And David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life? Or my father's family in Israel? That I should be son-in-law to the king.
Now David's hesitating, but he's using good manners there. I mean, thank you very much. Do you suppose that David's not too fond of Nerab? You suppose maybe he's looking at another one of those daughters? I mean, David's very wise. He wants a girl, remember that? But he doesn't want her. He also gets to thinking about that King Saul tries to kill him.
Verse 19, and it came to pass at the time when Nerab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David.
On the day that should have been the wedding.
That she was given to Adriel, the Maholathite, to wife.
She married somebody else. Good Lord. Well, let's find out why.
Verse 20, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David.
We got another daughter, Michal. She loves David. Everything in the Bible is a type. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. These things happen to them in the Bible for an example for those who are the end of the age. We are the end of the age. Nerab is one half of the body of Christ, the five foolish virgins of Matthew 25. Because they don't really, really, really love Jesus, although they say they do, they love what he gives to them. They go to church and read their Bible, but they don't really know him. They marry the fake Christ who comes first instead of Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. Because he's going to look like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, but it's the devil with his Jesus costume on, the voice of the dragon. Michal loves David. The five wise virgins of Matthew 25 are in love with Jesus. It's not just that they go to church and read their Bible. Everything about their life shows Jesus' love. Their relationships, their words, their actions, their money, their time, their job, their talent. You can see the love of Jesus in them. And they know their shepherd. And no other shepherd will they follow. And they're not deceived. This will be the five wise virgins, Matthew 25, who will not be deceived by the first fake Christ that comes. They will wait for the true bridegroom, Jesus, a type of David.
And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Verse 21, and Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare unto him.
A snare means a trap. Now, why do you say that? We want Michal to be a snare to David so he can get killed. Here's what it was. King Saul had noticed that David was lonely. Oh, he had seven older brothers, but they looked down on him. And he was very loving. He wanted love. And he noticed Michal, very beautiful, loved David. And he thought, they're going to be so much in love that I'm going to send him off to war. He's going to be distracted thinking of his beautiful wife, and then the Philistines can kill him. Be very careful, Christian, that you do not get distracted from the destiny and purpose of your life. Some of you are so distracted by overwork, over fun, over loving money, coveting money, greed, fun, food, stuff. Look out. You've got a destiny. Keep your focus.
And of a hand of the Philistines may be against him.
See, they'll kill him. He'll be distracted. I want to go home to my Saul.
Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, and the one of the twain.
In other words, the first one didn't work out, you can have two. Two is better than one.
Verse 22. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, come in with David secretly.
Tell David this, but don't tell him I said it, says King Saul.
And say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law.
Now, King Saul says, I think David's a little suspect of me. I think he thinks I might kill him again. Tell him, let bygones be bygones. I love you, David. I really want you to be my son-in-law.
Verse 23.
The enemy's method is always flattery. He's going to come in and say, peace and safety, worship me, and I'll give you all the money you want.
And Saul's servant spake these words in the ears of David.
They told David.
And David said, summeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law?
You think it's easy? I'm going to be in that palace with Michal. He's going to sneak in my bedroom and kill me.
Say that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed.
I don't even have a dowry. I mean, to pay a dowry for the king's daughter, I don't have that much money. I'm just a shepherd boy.
Verse 24. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this matter spake David.
They told Saul what David said. I don't have a dowry.
Verse 25. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry.
I don't want a dowry, but I do want something.
But 100 foreskins of the Philistines.
100 foreskins of the Philistines. Now, before Jesus came, all of God's people, starting with Abraham, were circumcised on the foreskin of the male organ there. They would cut it, and blood would bleed, and that was a prophecy that Lord Jesus Christ would come and would circumcise our hearts and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. So, Saul says, ha ha ha, I don't think 100 Philistines are going to say, okay, David, cut away. I don't think so. Do you?
Nope.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
To be avenged of the king's enemy. But Saul fought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines.
He thought the Philistines would circumcise David again.
Verse 26. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law.
When it's too hard for everybody else, because the anointing's on you, it's just right for the anointed vessel of God.
Amen. The days were not expired.
Okay, he had a few days before the wedding. He's got time to go get those foreskins.
Verse 27. Therefore David went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men.
The second mile Christian. Many years later, the Lord Jesus Christ would say to all of us, when somebody compels you to go a mile, they make you do it, go with them 2 miles. Be a second mile Christian. I do that, do you?
Yeah.
And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king.
Full total. Here you got. I got 200 for you, king. Can you imagine King Saul's face? He did not want those foreskins. You know what he wanted? He thought maybe the Philistines would say, you trying to circumcise us? And they would probably circumcise David twice. He wanted David's dead, circumcised body. When Jesus Christ was crucified, they stripped him naked and hung him on the cross. And everybody saw that Jesus was circumcised. He was circumcised at 8 years old. All the world saw Jesus' dead body circumcised.
That he might be the king's son-in-law.
Look, I did it. Give me my wife now.
And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife.
He had no choice. He had to. Now, even though the Antichrist comes before Jesus, his time's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, Matthew 24. He's going to deceive the whole world and half the body of Christ. I hope none of you are listening to me now. But nobody's going to keep the marriage supper of the Lamb from happening. The very elect,
symbolized here by Michelle, will be the bride, and Jesus will be the bridegroom. Nobody's going to stop that from happening. The wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David.
Saul realized that God was with him. Please understand that the devil knows where the Lord's really upon you. See, a lot of people say, I love Jesus, I'm saved, but it's not your Lord. If it's not your Lord, you're not in love with him. You're not only saved, but then he's your Lord, means you obey, and he's everything to you, and everybody can see Jesus in you. So can the devil, who's going to be the Antichrist. He will see that the elect are in love with Jesus, and that's why he's going to have us delivered up to him. Don't be afraid. This is a great moment when the Holy Spirit speaks through you. All the world will hear in the Holy Spirit's language of Pentecost, and then the end shall come.
Amen. And that Michelle, Saul's daughter, loved him.
She loved him. The elect love Jesus. Oh, they love other people. A man loves Jesus more than his wife. A wife loves Jesus more than a husband. We're talking about elect here. Parents love Jesus more than the children. You love people, you love Jesus more than anything in this world. The elect are not covetous. They're not always about money. They love Jesus more than the money.
Verse 29, Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Saul became David's enemy continually.
He was really his enemy. Now, because you are madly in love with Jesus, because you're anointed by the Holy Spirit, your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion. You never compromise with the devil. Some Christians on the sound of my voice say, I love Jesus, but you're compromising with the devil. You say, well, I don't obey this part of the Bible. I do this, but I don't do that. I'm still a little bit in the world. I want to be this when I grow up. No, 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 no. God has a plan for you. He's got your plan there. You cannot compromise with the devil. Republicans, you don't cross the aisle. That's the devil. The Democratic Party is not what it was at our grandmothers. This is the devil with his Jesus costume on. And you Christians, it's time for you to come out. Be separate. You're supposed to be holy. Live holy lives.
Amen. Verse 30. And the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul.
God always gave him the victory.
So his name was much set by.
He was outstanding. He was remarkable. Everybody loved him. How remarkable. How outstanding is Jesus' love for us. Out of the ivory palaces, he came to this world of woe to pay our sin debt because he loved us so. What an exchange. The Elohim exchange, extraordinaire. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What an awesome word.
Awesome.
Awesome word.
Great is his love. Great
Amen.
Is his love. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Psalms 91:14.
Absolutely perfect. Great, Scott. We did not collude. You are led by the Holy Spirit. You are anointed. Bless you in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Before I continue and pray for healing and so forth, let's get everybody in the world saved. Jesus is coming again. There's nothing in this world worth 2 cents at this point. The only thing matters is your eternal salvation. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. But remember, you have to endure to the end. You don't fall off like Nadab did, okay? Here we go. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them all away with your precious blood.
Wash them all away with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That not only is Jesus Christ my Savior.
That not only is Jesus Christ my Savior.
He is my Lord.
He is my Lord.
I obey him.
I obey him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Death and life are the power of the tongue. You need to tell people? I invite you to tell me. In a moment, my announcer, Scott Mercer, will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession on there. And when I get it, I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. All new Christians, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. I suggest you get a King James. It is the only version that you can trace almost every word back to the original language in which the Holy Spirit dictated it. Hebrew, Greek, Chaldee, Aramaic, Syriac. Read that Bible every day. Find a place in your home that is your prayer time. No noise, just you and God. Now you pray, Father, in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, commune with him. Let him talk to you. Don't do all the talking and listen to him. And then you go to church somewhere. Every Saturday or Sunday, whichever is your Sabbath, Sunday mostly, but some of you on Saturday, and the midweek service, you must go to midweek service. You're never going to grow until you learn how to pray. And you go every time the door will open. Find a church that teaches God's word, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Why? Because Paul said, read this epistle in the church. Read this book in the church. And Isaiah 28 says, line by line. Be sure that whoever's in charge there by God, the under shepherd, has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And then also make sure that they pray in the Spirit, that they operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God bless you. Here's my email. You may email me not only your spiritual conversion, but your prayer requests, your praise reports, your thank yous, your love. Okay, here we go. S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Normally at this time, I pray for healing, but the Holy Spirit's led me to do something else. On Wednesdays, we have SSS, supplication for someone special, and I'm going to do that today because someone special is in trouble. Our wonderful President Donald John Trump has been falsely accused, Russia, 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 impeach, impeach, impeach. And now he's being accused again, and he's supposed to be arrested on Tuesday for absolutely nothing. This is the man of God. God told me to pray for him 8 years before he came down the elevator. God showed me. God chose him. He's been the best president we've ever had in my lifetime. And one of the best presidents of the world. He's a man of God. So we got to stand by him. Listen, America. It is time you stop playing church. It is time you get together and pray. And do 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to have another America's Day of Repentance pretty soon. We're having a few. Jonathan Cahn's had some. I've had one every year for a long time. Going to have another one. It is time for every Christian in all America to humble yourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll hear the Lamb. By the way, a wonderful friend in California, Mike, is making us some t-shirts with that on it. Thank you, Mike. I'm going to give everybody one. Okay. So let's pray for President Donald John Trump. President, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, we come to you, lift up to you, President Donald John Trump. Lord, you won't give a person more than they can bear. We've noticed that every time they falsely accuse him, that you turn it for his good. And the enemy means this for evil, but God will turn it for good. Lord, he won the election. The Dominion scenes just kept printing out those ballots. And we ask you to restore to him all the enemy has stolen. Let not his heart be troubled. Protect him, Father, body, soul, spirit. Your left hand under President Trump. President Trump's head, your right hand, embrace him. Give him strength. Give him peace that passes understanding. Let him feel your peace and let him know that he's not alone in this. Not only are you with him, but we the people are with him. We love him. We know that you put him there. And we ask you to bless him, keep him healthy, and give him the victory over this. He's not through yet. Donald Trump is the head. He's not the tail. He's above. He's not beneath. No weapon formed against Donald Trump shall prosper. Amen. And every tongue that rises against him shall be condemned in the name of Jesus. Amen. We command the evil liars to be gone from him in Jesus' mighty name. And all over the world we say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's closer to you than hands are breathing. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to the next time when everybody in here and all over the world, my precious friends, I feel your spirit, get together as a family of God. Jesus is the head, we're the body. To hear the joyful sound of
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Hi, everyone. I'm Danny Whiting, the new general manager for FM radio station WMIE 91.5. And it's time for our semi-annual fundraiser. Offering this year's appeal will begin Monday, April 17th, and continue through April 24th. I hope that you will prayerfully consider making a donation to WMIE's radio ministry so that we can continue to bring you sound preaching, Bible teaching, and worship music through the airways. You can send your donations via mail to WMIE 1150 West King Street, Cocoa, Florida, 32922, or you can call us with your pledge at 321-632-1000, and we'll take your information over the phone, or even more convenient, you can go to WMIEFM.com and click on the donate to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless.
You say
shaken. Left unshaken. When everything's tumbling down, you're the solid ground. Nations could be quaking, economies failing, where fear is found all around, you're the solid ground. Our God, you are all that you say. Be shaken, we shall not be shaken when all around is sinking sand. For you are never changing, you are never changing, you will stand. The great I am. No, we shall not be shaken, we shall not be shaken when all around.
Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Savior, Savior, hear the spring of all my comfort.
You are
more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Savior of the world,
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Oh Lord, you're my shepherd. You make me lie in fields of green.